Hello, everyone, and welcome to Revelation. This is the Classroom of the Air, bringing you truth for today. God bless you for joining me as we study God's Word together. I believe the Lord has something special in store for you right now. So open up your heart and receive His revelation today. Today we are completing our teaching series called Work Matters. As we come to the final message in this series, let's begin by taking a moment to review what we've learned so far. We began this series with the message, "It's not just a job," based on the text from Colossians 3, 23 and 24. Your work matters because everything you do is actually service to the Lord. The Bible tells us you're not working for a company, you're actually working for the Lord Jesus Christ. Our second message was entitled Doing Business with God. We started studying the life of Joseph in the Old Testament, and we discovered that when you make God the foundation of your work and take Him as your work partner, you can always expect His blessing. Then last week, we discovered the path to promotion. As we followed Joseph's promotion from the prison to the palace, we discovered the truth that God has an amazing destiny for all of us. He's created us and shaped us with unique gifts and abilities that we might bring glory to Him and serve others. And that brings us to today's message titled, Beyond Success to Significance. As we come to the end of the story of Joseph, we're going to discover that the greatest thing about his work was not his success, but his significance in the world. You see, Joseph was not only successful, but best of all, he was significant. Not only did he find riches and honor and promotion and success, he also had an amazing impact in the world. And the great news for all of us is that we can become significant as well. As we follow Joseph's example, we're going to discover three key truths that will help take us all beyond success to significance. Now, it may surprise you today to learn that you can be a significant person. You may not think that you have that ability or the destiny of making a difference in this world. But let me reassure you today, the Bible is clear that it is God's call on all His children to be people who are significant. For you see, significance doesn't rely on money or on fame or power. Having an impact that makes a difference in people's lives is not the exclusive domain of the mighty or the wealthy. Significance is something that any one of us can achieve. In fact, I believe that when we dedicate our work to Christ and commit to serving God and others through our jobs, we can all become people who make a significant difference in our world. So let's look once again at the life of Joseph and see the steps we can take today to become significant people. Here's the first step you need to take. Understand the priority of significance. You see, friend, your journey to significance begins when you understand how important significance is. You see, the truth is, most of us are not aiming for significance in this life. Most of us, if not all of us, are actually aiming for success. We want to be a success in our life, in our career, and in our world. And there's nothing wrong with success. In fact, I want you to succeed. God wants you to be a success. So don't get me wrong. I'm praying for your success. I pray you get a better job, a better promotion, and that you build your business, and that you succeed in all you set your hands to do. And God promises success to those who follow Him. But here's the truth you need to know today. Success is good, but significance is better. We can see this from the life of Joseph. The Bible makes it clear that he was successful. Listen to Genesis 41. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." He had a position. Pharaoh said, "I'm giving you charge of the whole land." Not only that, he had prosperity. The Bible goes on to tell us that Pharaoh gave Joseph his signet ring and fine linen robes and a gold chain. And not only that, he had power. Everywhere he went, people shouted, "Make way, make way." The sirens were blaring and the people were moving. By all measure, Joseph was a huge success. He had it made. But if that was all he had, we would not be talking about him today. If all Joseph achieved in life was a position and prosperity and power, he would have soon been forgotten. See, there have been millions of men in history who achieved what Joseph achieved. There have been many men richer than Joseph. There have been many men more powerful than Joseph. There have been many who had greater positions, and we don't remember any of them. We don't know their names or hear their stories. Even the great Pharaoh, who was above Joseph and appointed Joseph, remains unknown to us. We don't know his name. The Pharaoh who promoted Joseph is not known to us like Joseph himself is. And the reason we remember Joseph, and the reason why we're talking about him today, is because he was significant. He had an impact in his world like no one else in his day. Listen again to Genesis 41 when the Bible says, "And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe everywhere." And here's where we see Joseph's impact. He saved a generation. He saved a nation. The whole world came to him. And we speak about him today and remember him today, not because of his wealth or power or his position, but because of the impact he made in the world. For the fact is, success fades, but significance endures. No matter how great your success, it will fade away. Today's success will become tomorrow's footnote in history. Your achievements will be outdone. Your success will be overtaken by others. And in the end, if all you've achieved is success, you have nothing but the temporary pleasure that fades in the light of eternity. That's the truth that the writer of Ecclesiastes brings out. Listen to his question for all of us, found in Ecclesiastes 3:9. What do people really get for all their hard work? Then in the rest of his book, he answers that question. He says in chapter 1 that achievements are forgotten. In chapter 2, pleasure ends. In chapter 2 again, he says that accomplishments fade away. He says money goes to others. In chapter 4, he even talks about how political power is lost. If you don't believe me today, then let's take a simple test and see. Are you ready? Let me ask you a few questions today. I'll give you a free meal if you can answer these questions all correctly right now. Name the 3 richest people in the world. Name the last 3 winners of the Golden Boot Award at the World Cup. Name the winners of this year's Nobel Prizes. How did you do? I didn't do very well either. With the exception of a few, none of us remember the headlines of yesterday. It's surprising how quickly we forget, isn't it? And what I've mentioned above are no second-rate achievements. These are the best in their fields, but the applause dies out. Awards tarnish. Achievements are forgotten. Accolades and certificates are buried with their owners. Here's another quiz. See how you do on this one. Think of 3 people you enjoy spending time with. Name 3 people who've taught you something valuable. Name 3 friends who showed love for you and helped you in a difficult time. Was that quiz easier? It was for me. The lesson here? The people who are significant in our lives are not the ones with the credentials, but the ones with the concern. And the fact is, many people are successful, but few are significant. Most people settle for less than what they could have. They don't realize how much better they could be through their work. They limit God. But for those of us today who follow God, the promise is available not just of success, but also of significance. Those who serve the Lord have the promise of success and also leaving a legacy. For Proverbs 12:7 says, "Good people are remembered long after they are gone." Friend, your path to significance begins when you understand how important significance is. Success is good, but significance is better. Success fades, but significance will endure. So how can you achieve significance? Well, that brings us to our second step today. You've got to pursue the practical steps to significance. Now, you may be listening to me this morning thinking, how can my life ever make a difference? When you consider your family, your history, your background, and your limitations, you may feel as if your life is not destined to make any impact. But the good news is, history is full of people who made an impact that exceeded their abilities and exceeded their understanding. In fact, sometimes those who make the biggest impact are those behind the scenes. Sometimes they're the people you've never heard of before. In fact, oftentimes the greatest events in the world started with something small and hidden. Sometimes the events that change history and make great impact have small beginnings. A baby born in a stable in Bethlehem didn't seem very significant, but the life of Jesus changed the world forever. Like a seed planted in the ground, the end result of a mighty tree cannot be determined by the size of the seed. You see, when God puts His hand upon a life, when God chooses to bless a life, that life can have a far greater impact than any one of us may realize. And the good news is this: God clearly shows us in His Word the practical steps we can take to make an impact. Every day, we can be people who are significant through our daily jobs. We can make an impact at work and in our world. Our work matters because it is one of the primary places where our influence can be seen in the world. Let me share with you today some of the ways that you can be significant through your work. The first one is you can be a witness at work. Jesus spells out God's vision for our significance in Matthew 5, 14 and 16 when He says, "You are the light that shines for the world to see. You are like a city built on a hill that cannot be hidden. People don't hide a lamp under a bowl. They put it on a lampstand. Then the light shines for everyone in the house." In the same way, you should be a light for other people. Live so that they will see the good things you do and praise your Father in heaven. Simply put, we are called by God to be the light of the world. That's significant. God has destined us to be significant so that men will see what He's done in us and will give God the praise. So no matter who you are or your background, you were made to be a person of significance. God created you to be someone special, someone who can meet a need and fill an empty place in the world. You may say to yourself today, "Well, what difference can I make? I'm just one person." But friend, think about what Jesus said here. He was sitting on the side of a hill talking to thousands of people. He was talking to ordinary people, market women, carpenters, cooks, and cleaners. He was talking to poor people and uneducated people, as well as the wealthy and the well-informed. He was speaking to political leaders and moms with children. He was talking to teachers and students, and He said to all of them what He says to you: "You are the light of the world." The Bible is full of examples of people who were not well regarded in the world, but who were significant in their witness. One of my favorite stories that illustrates this truth is found in 2 Kings chapter 5. Here we see a story of a little girl who had no position, but who had the Spirit of God in her. You see, the Bible tells us there was a Syrian army general named Naaman, and he had a little Jewish house girl who was a slave. She had no influence in the natural realm. We don't know her name. She was the lowest person in society. But what she did not have in the natural realm, she had in the spiritual realm. She was a servant of the Most High God. This Naaman that she worked for was sick with leprosy. And this little house girl spoke up and said, "I know a prophet named Elisha who can heal you. Go to him and do whatever he says." And because she was anointed by God, the big powerful general did what this little house girl told him to do. He went to the prophet Elisha and was healed by God. And friend, you may not be somebody big in the world, but with the anointing inside of you, you can make a difference. The anointing abundantly increases your significance. That's exactly what happened with the apostles in the book of Acts. Listen to Acts 4:13. The Bible says, "Now when they saw," that is the leaders of the temple, "saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus." The apostles were ordinary men. They had no formal education. They had not been to Bible school or seminary or cemetery. They'd never been anywhere except with Jesus. And His anointing rested on them. They were men of influence because the anointing multiplied their influence in the world. And the early church was a city set on a hill. The Bible tells us later in the book of Acts that this church, these men, turned the world upside down. And the fact is, every day you go to work, you enter a mission field. You interact with people every day at work that I may never meet. At work, you have the opportunity not just to be successful, but to be significant. By shining your light in the working place, you can be a city on a hill, a person of significance. So let me ask you a question today. Are you just climbing the ladder, or are you shining the light? A second practical step you can take right now to be significant in work is this: invest your wealth in eternal things. Listen to Ephesians 4:28b. We must work doing something useful with our own hands, that we may have something to share with those in need. See, friend, God is blessing you for a reason. God is raising you up and promoting you for a reason. He wants to bless you and make you successful. He wants to prosper you and bless your life. There's no way you can read the Bible and not understand the promises of God. But what most people don't understand is why God blesses us. He isn't just pouring out His blessing on you for your sake. He blesses the work of your hands so that you in turn can be a blessing to others. That's what He told Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless you so that all the nations of the world will be blessed through you. And we are Abraham's children in the faith. We're the people God wants to bless so that through us the world will also be blessed. That's why God promoted Joseph. That's why God raised him up and gave him success so that he could save the world. The Apostle Paul understood this truth as well. Listen to him in Acts 20:35. He said, I've been a constant example of how you can help the poor by working hard and remembering the words of the Lord Jesus. It is more blessed to give than to receive. So let me ask you another question. Are you building wealth, or are you building Christ's kingdom? Many of us today have career goals. We have financial goals. We have goals of what we want to achieve in terms of our education and our career. But do you have significance goals? Do you have a goal for giving? For as we invest in God's business, He will take care of our business. Then the third practical step you can take today at work is focus on what is worthwhile. Paul gives us a powerful exhortation in 2 Timothy 2:2. Listen to his words. You have often heard me teach. Now I want you to tell these same things to followers who can be trusted to tell others. Paul's simple command to us today is touch a life. If significance is simply impacting the people around you, then every one of us has the power of significance in our lives. Think about the people you interact with every day. First, there's your family. If you're married, you have a wife or a husband. You might have children you can influence. Then secondly, there's the people in your compound and people in your neighborhood, your extended family. And what about the people at work and at school? Every day you have contact with people that you can influence. For most of us, there will be at least 40 to 50 people that we can make a significant impact upon their lives. And if you start to think about it, you'll be amazed at the number of people you can influence. The fact is, some of those people may be people who influence others. They may be people in the future who will influence many others. So the life you touch today may go on tomorrow to become something of great influence and impact in Ghana or in Africa or even in the world. Someone taught John Mahama at school. Today, he is president of Ghana. Someone introduced Asamoah Gyan to football. Today, he's the captain of the Ghana Black Stars and the all-time leading scorer for our team. Someone witnessed to Bishop Ajin Asare and led him to Christ. Someone invited Pastor Mensa Odabil to go to church. Someone gave money for me to go to Bible school. So understand this today. You are already influencing people, and God has called you to influence the world around you to be a light through shining your witness and giving money. It's as simple as giving to others what you yourself have received. For Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, give as freely as you've received. Maybe you're here today and you say, I don't know how to touch a life. Just give what you've received. That's the lesson we learn from the story of Sule. A few years ago, there was a clinic run by a church in the north. Dr. Mensa was working as a medical missionary at the clinic, treating the sick and bringing healing to them. One morning, a blind man named Sule was brought to the medical mission. Dr. Mensa was able to diagnose the disease of his eyes that caused him to be blind. Thankfully, there were drugs that could cure the sickness. After a few days of treatment, Sule was able to see again. He was so excited, he started running around the compound, jumping up and down and praising God. He left the clinic with new sight and a new faith in Christ. About a week later, Dr. Mensa heard a noise coming from the waiting room of the clinic. He rushed out and saw the entire office staff at the window, all talking with great excitement. They were staring up the road, and when Dr. Mensa looked up the road, he saw an amazing sight. He saw Sule leading a procession of 20 other blind people. He tied a rope around their waist and was leading them down the road to the clinic. Sule rushed up to Dr. Mensa and said, Doctor, you brought my sight back to me. You healed me with your prayers and medicine. Now I want you to do the same thing to my friends. They're blind. Help them see like you helped me see. You see, after having experienced the healing touch, Sule wanted nothing more than for his friends to be healed as well. What he'd received, he gave freely to others. And that's what God wants you to do today. If you've received the blessing of God, you want everyone else to know about it. You want to share that experience with others. You want to give what God has given to you. Maybe you say today, well, I don't have anything to give. I don't know how to witness. I don't have money. But every one of us has received something. And whatever we've received, that's what we can give. Even if all you do is come to church and sit in the chair, then at least invite someone to church to sit next to you. For the most significant thing you can do is touch another life. Are you just marking time, or are you marking lives? Are you making a living, or are you making a difference? For the amazing truth is this: when you choose significance, God promises you success as well. When you go beyond just aiming for success, God promises to give you both success and significance. That's what Jesus said in John 12:26 when he said, "My Father will honor the one who serves me." Friends, I believe that each one of us has the power to live a significant life. Some of us may be able to do more than others, but we can all do something to touch a life. We can all let our light shine. We can all give something to make an impact in the world. We can focus on the worthwhile and touch lives for His glory. If that's your desire, then take the third step with me today, which is this. You've got to embrace the power for significance. John 16:16 says, "You did not choose me, I chose you. And I gave you this work to go and produce fruit, fruit that will last." To embrace the power for significance, you simply need to tap into the power of the most significant life ever. Today, that same Jesus is the one who calls you to follow in His footsteps. He calls you to go beyond success to significance. For as He said, He has chosen us. He's chosen us to produce fruit that will remain. God's given you a work to do. His work, the work that matters, is for you to bear lasting fruit. His job for you today is for you to become a person of significance through your witness, through your wealth, through doing what is worthwhile. That's why as we come to the end of this teaching series, we must make our prayer the same prayer that Moses prayed thousands of years ago. Moses' prayer is found in Psalms 90:17, and it says this: "May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. That's my prayer for you today, that you will dedicate yourself to Jesus so that He might establish the work of your hands and take you beyond success to significance. I'd like to pray with you as we close today. Would you bow your heads with me? Almighty Father, thank you for this opportunity to hear your truth about work and why it matters. Help us, Lord, to become the people you've called us to be, a people who are not only successful, but significant. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining me today on Revelation. I trust this message has been a blessing to you. I hope to see you next week at this very time, on this day, on this station, for another exciting teaching from God's Word. Until then, may God richly bless you. Goodbye for now.